Jana Vallabha Girivadhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Yamuna Tirana Yamuna Tirana Yamuna Tirana Yamuna Tirana Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari Yashoda Nandana Vajjana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Prabhupada 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 Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nityai Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Harinam Sankirtana Yajna Ki Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तदोजयम् उदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी श्रीमद्भागवतम् 6th कैंटो चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 4 यथा धानाशु वैधाना भवन्ति न भवन्ति च एवं भूतानि भूतेषु शोधितानि च मायया यथा धानाशु वैधाना भवन्ति न भवन्ति च एवं भूतानि भूतेषु चोदितानि शमायया यथा धानाशु वैधाना भवन्ति न भवन्ति च एवं भूतानि भूतेषु चोदितानि शमायया वन प्रभु वन माताजी यथा धानाशु वैधाना भवन्ति न भवन्ति च एवं भूतानि भूतेषु चोदितानि शमायया यथा धानाशु वैधाना भवन्ति न भवन्ति च एवं भूतानि भूतेषु चोदितानि शमायया यथा जस्ट एज धानाशु थ्रू सीड्स ऑफ पैडी वाई इंडीड धानः ग्रेन्स भवन्ति आर जनरेटेड न नॉट भवन्ति आर जनरेटेड च आल्सो एवं इन दिस वे भूतानि द लिविंग एंटिटीज भूतेषु इन अदर लिविंग एंटिटीज चोदितानि इंपेल्ड ईशमायाया By the potency or power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. When seeds are sown in the ground, they sometimes grow into plants and sometimes do not. Sometimes the ground is not fertile and the sowing of seeds is unproductive. Similarly, sometimes a prospective father, being impelled by the potency of the Supreme Lord, can beget a child. But sometimes conception does not take place. Therefore, one should not lament over the artificial relationship of parenthood, which is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord. Purport: Maharaj Chitraketu was actually not destined to get a son. Therefore, although he married hundreds and thousands of wives, all of them proved barren, and he could not beget even one child. When Angira Rishi came to see the king requested the great sage to enable him to have at least one son. Because of the blessing of Angira Rishi, a child was sent by the grace of Maya. Prabhu. Prabhupada doesn't say Krishna. Because of the blessing of Angira Rishi, a child was sent by the grace of Maya, but the child was not to live for long. Therefore, in the beginning, Angira Rishi told the king that he would beget a child who would cause jubilation and lamentation. Next paragraph. King Chitrakeda was not destined to get a child by or the will of the Supreme, second time. Just as sterile grain cannot produce more grain, a sterile person by the will of the Supreme Lord cannot beget a child. Sometimes a child is born even to an impotent father and sterile mother, and sometimes a potent father and fertile mother are childless. Indeed, sometimes a child is born despite contraceptive methods, and therefore the parents kill the child in the womb. In the present age, killing children in the womb has become a common practice. Why? When contraceptive methods are taken, why don't they act? Why is a child sometimes produced so that the father and mother have to kill it in the womb? We must conclude that our arrangement of so-called scientific knowledge cannot determine what will take place. What is enacted actually depends on the Supreme Will. It is the Supreme Will that we are situated in certain conditions in terms of family, community, and personality. These are all arrangements of the Supreme Lord according to our desires under the spell of Maya, illusion. In devotional life, therefore, one should not desire anything, since everything depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktir uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One should act only to develop Krishna consciousness. For everything else, one should fully depend upon the Supreme Person. We should not create plans that will ultimately make us frustrated. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यस्य कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं. When seeds are sown in the ground, they sometimes grow into plants and sometimes do not. Sometimes the ground is not fertile and the sowing of seeds is unproductive. Similarly, sometimes a prospective father, being impelled by the potency of the Supreme Lord, can beget a child, but sometimes conception does not take place. Therefore, one should not lament over the artificial relationship of parenthood, which is ultimately controlled by the Supreme Lord. So, reading 6.15.4, Angira Rishi and Narada Muni, they are trying to help Maharaj Chitraketu understand the situation. And they are, of course, using transcendental knowledge to help Maharaj Chitraketu understand the situation. So while the translation and the section of Bhagavatam seems to particularly be talking about, you know, parenthood, but this applies to any one of us. Yeah. So it, like here Prabhupada, this, the translation is saying, you know, the seeds are sown in the ground, they sometimes grow into plants and sometimes they're not. So this doesn't just apply to this specific context. ಈಶ್ವರ ಪರಮ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದ ವಿಗ್ರಹ ಏಕಲ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆರ ಸಭ ಭೃತ್ಯ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಈಶ್ವರ ಬಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲರ್ಶಿಪ್ ಇಸ್ ಮೈನ್ಯೂಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಅಪಾನ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟೀಸ್ ಸರ್ವಿಸ್ ದೇ ಮೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಮೋರ್ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಎಕ್ಸಾಂಪಲ್ ದ ಡೆಮಿ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಈಶ್ವರ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲರ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಎಂಪವರ್ಡ್ ವಿತ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಟು ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ ಅ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ನೋ ಹಿಸ್ ಅರೇಂಜ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಬಟ್ ಈವನ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಇಂಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಡಿಪೆಂಡೆಂಟ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ದ ಸುಪ್ರೀಮ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ as Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, even the demigods that offer some, you know, results of the worship that a living entity performs unto them, even that ability to give some benediction, it depends on the Supreme Lord's sanction. So that's something that we have to clearly understand. Every living entity has some control. But then Krishna, he is a supreme controller. And everything actually moves under his will. He doesn't even have to do anything. He just wills something and it happens. That's cool. That's the Supreme Lord. All these demigods, like even Lord Indra, his ability to perform his service, it depends. He has, you know, sages, priests that perform these sacrifices. And then he has a whole army that he has to have ever ready in case, you know, the demons have their eyes on the heavenly realm. So he has to make so many arrangements. You know, the demigods, Lord Indra is one example, other demigods also. But Lord Krishna, he has unlimited potencies. So his unlimited potencies, he can do anything. His potencies are mainly six that we often hear about, right? He's all knowledgeable. But those are only six potencies. But he has unlimited potencies, unlimited energies. And he can do as he. So here, Angira Rishi is talking that specifically with respect to the potency of, you know, parenthood. Parenthood. like Krishna, like this material realm, this Krishna system. And that he chooses to take birth, and that's probably according to their second paragraph. The supreme will that we are situated in certain conditions in terms of family, community, and person to our desires under the spell of Maya, illusion. So we have to clearly understand fulfilling the desires of all living entities. This living entities. Fulfilling those desires. But as Prabhupada is writing, those desires he can fulfill of the living entities through his external agency, Maya potency, or through his internal potency. So like here Prabhupada, in the first paragraph he says King Chitrakirti was not destined to have a son. And then again that he had a son. Okay, so then what does that mean? So who is in charge? Who is in control? He is explaining, according to Krishna's will, King Chitraketu was not meant to have a son. Not to pick on King Chitraketu, but we are also like this basically. Sometimes we are adamant. We try to, as Maharaj puts it, or Prabhupada puts it, but we keep trying. So King Chitraketu here, one wife, two wives, three wives, hundreds and thousands of wives. Kaun barega? There's this show in India. Yeah, anyway. So King Chitraketu, he became a crorepati. He had 1 crore wives to beget a son. So that each and every wife that he marries, she is barren. That's, you know, somewhere the light has to go on. But anyway, it doesn't go for us basically. So here, King Chitraketu, you know, he marries, you know, 1 crore, and then even then he doesn't have a son. But then he is attached to having a son. It blinds us to not be able to see things, is it? But we, you know, because we are sort of in that situation. So here, King Chitraketu, he is unable to accept, you know, his fate. And he has a desire to have a son, okay? And he sees the situation of King Chitraketu, and he gives him a blessing, proposes a blessing by which, through the potency of the external energy, Maya, he can have a son. Okay. So I was thinking about that basically. So what is the of Maya in a way, right? Maya has two functions, right? To throw the living entity into illusion, right? And to keep them there. And of course, Maya will recede back, you know, when Krishna tells her to recede back. So here, Krishna had a plan, but, you know, King Chitraketu wanted something else. One of the devotees of Krishna, Angira Rishi, you know, King Chitraketu. So one can even look at it in this way, like how we often hear, the Supreme Lord is, I mean, he is Bhakta Vatsala, he is dear, the devotees are dear to him, and he is dear to the devotees. And the Supreme Lord's will, it follows the will sometimes of the devotees. So Angira Rishi, seeing the situation, so again the Vaishnava, he's able to see beyond just the immediate circumstance. So Angira Rishi assesses that at this point, King Chitraketu, for the next step to happen, he has to beget a son, go through the purification. It's all part of the package. You know, Maya, she has 3 different kind of kleshas, and she and the living entity is subjected to it. And the living entity in that suffering condition, he can approach the Supreme Lord. So here, the circumstance, in a way, was sanctioned by Angira Rishi. The external energy of Krishna, Maya, which is Krishna's servant, Prabhupada says, through her sanction, he begets a son. So I guess many questions. Can purification happen either way? Yes. Purification of a living entity can happen either way. For example, in this specific context, some parents, they have children, and everybody thinks, wow, that's a nice service. But believe me, it's, there is purification in having children. And then some couples may not have children, and there is purification there as well. So it's not that, you know, this purification is better or that purification is better. Purification is something that we can definitely expect in this material world, however it comes. So here, specifically, Angira Rishi, he blesses him to have a son, and he tells him he'll have a son, but he'll be cause of jubilation and lamentation. And so that's the path that Angira Rishi, the Supreme Lord, they saw King Chitraketu moving. we could move in other some other way. I guess once one devotee was speaking to another, to a spiritual master, and they were in a situation where they were married for many years, and you know they were not having a child. And so it was painful, of course, you know, for the father and the wife. I mean, the father, I mean, sorry, the husband and the wife. And the spiritual master, you know, what is he supposed to do in such situations? And he could understand the pain, you know, of his disciples. And then he said, well, it's service, you know, selfless service. And if you don't have children, selfless service this way. Or if you have children, it's service this way. Either way, it's service. Either way, it's purification. So here, Prabhupada is, you know, speaking twice that King Chitraketu was not destined to have a child. He was sent by the grace of Maya. So again, one thing that we have to understand is not everything that we get is a sanction of Krishna. Well, this is a blessing of the Lord, you know, blessing of Krishna. It's like a child that is somehow, sometimes that is adamant that I want a particular thing. So a parent will, I mean, in resignation, they will say, okay, we can have. Like that. So similarly, sometimes the living entity is adamant that something turned out. And if it does turn out, it doesn't mean it's the sanction of the Lord. We just have to phalena parichiyate. We have to wait and see what happens out of it. And for us to understand what is the will of the Lord, what is not the will of the Lord, like Prabhupada says, this so-called scientific knowledge, that will not help. So one has to have the association of Vaishnavas. One has to understand the intricate, not, I mean, one cannot understand, but one has to at least know the intricate laws of karma, you know, the science of reincarnation, the soul. So many factors have to be understood. At least theoretical, one has to have a knowledge of all these things. And then things that are otherwise inconceivable, they become conceivable. Like Prabhupada is giving the example. That sometimes it happens that a sterile, you know, an impotent father and a sterile mother or a woman, they have a child. How does that happen? No. Or a potent father, you know, and you know, a fertile, you know, mother, they don't have a child. So Bhagavad Gita also explains how there are, you know, five factors of action. It's not just the living entity. You know, he, of course, he thinks kartaham iti manyate, because of ahankara, because of false ego, he thinks I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the creator of my destiny. But there are higher forces at work here. You know, the laws of karma specifically, like here Prabhupada gives the example. You know, sometimes, you know, a couple, they may even resort to contraception, in the hope to not beget a child. But then the contraceptive methods fail and they have a child. And then in some cases the child is aborted. The child is aborted. So then what happened? How did you know, this whole system that was supposed to be foolproof, how did it fail? So anyway, right, in this discussion I don't want to make it a moral issue here. Abortion, that's a side topic. But if you look at the laws of karma, we step back and we say, I mean, that if some child that is aborted, something similar must have he have done, he or she must have done in their previous life. It's not like I'm ruthless, but the laws of karma, they are infallible justice. Like the scriptures mention, if somebody takes the life of a cow, then he has to take birth as many times as there are hairs on the cow and be killed. So if we take a step back, then things that are otherwise inconceivable, they make sense. So I was having this discussion this morning with a devotee. So there are different, you know, levels from which we have to learn to see. There is one level, like here, for example, let's just talk about the abortion here. So there is, it seems that there is on one level there is a victim and a perpetrator, right? But that at another level, there are no victims and perpetrators. Anyway, this is some might seem controversial or whatever, but there are different levels from which these things are happening. I'm not condoning one thing or the other, but we have to get out of this mentality about victims and perpetrators. See things as they are. Like I was explaining to this devotee, this whole beautiful Chitraketu's pastime. I mean, where does, in a way, it begins? So many things, sort of, when you step back, they perfectly fit together. Of course, purposes also, but it begins, like Indra offending Brihaspati, you know, it begins sort of there, losing his kingdom. Then he comes in contact with, you know, Vishwarup. That. And then, you know, somehow he beheads Vishwarup. And his father Tvashtra, he creates a fiery demon that would kill Indra, but it gets killed by Indra. Then you fast forward in time. Then there's Chitraketu, you know, he becomes a Mahabhagavata, and accidentally or just in jest, he makes a comment and he offends, you know, seemingly he offends Lord Shiva. Parvati, she takes offense, and then she curses him to die, to become a demon. So we just have to be careful, especially with Vaishnavas, to not take sides, you know, especially in Vaishnava circle, as victims and perpetrators. Especially with our condition, from our conditioned self, we are not able to see fully. We don't have a full picture of things ever. The Supreme Lord has a picture. We don't. And to the degree we are attuned with the Supreme Lord and we stay in the service mode, to that degree, we can understand things as they are, not as we see them through our colored lenses, basically. So King Chitraketu, so the whole piece, all the pieces, they fit together, so to speak. So one can say, well, you know, Parvati, you know, how could she curse, you know, this Mahabhagavata Chitraketu, like that. So we have something, we hold something against her, or we hold something against, you know, Indra, and so on and so forth. So these are all, I know, I'm not saying these are, so these are, there are definitely lessons that we should learn from these things. Yeah, there are lessons that we should learn. But then, I guess the point I'm making here is, there are different planes, levels of seeing. At one level, yes, you know, what Indra did, what, you know, this whole thing is abominable. But at another level, you know, in a way Krishna is the puppeteer. Things are happening. Things are happening. And they're happening either through his internal energy or his external energy. So of course, like here, the conditioned souls, I mean, these relationships that, you know, end in disasters, you know, that begin with great promises but end in disasters. What's going on? So in a way, it is the external energy is definitely at work. But then why do some relationships last? Why do they don't last? Of course, Krishna is absent. You know, Krishna's absence makes a whole difference. But then also, there are, you know, larger forces at work, karmic forces, like here, she is, you know, is being talked about. The woman being, you know, barren, or the men being, you know, impotent. Prabhupada mentions in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you know, like prarabdha karma, it's, you know, chronic illnesses, they signify, you know, something in the past, you know, like something that, you know, by birth somebody is born like this or that, so on and so forth. So the point here is, One of the points is, not a blade of grass moves without the will of Krishna. That we have to clearly understand. By our own efforts, we cannot make things happen. Krishna's sanction has to be there. So now, just focusing on the last part of the purport. So Prabhupada is writing, it is by the supreme will that we are situated in certain conditions in terms of family, community, and personality. These are all arrangements of the Supreme Lord according to our desires under the spell of Maya illusion. So what family we take, Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. These are all, in a way, Prabhupada is mentioning here, these are all a result of our desires under the spell of Maya illusion. But then, when one begins to turn to Krishna, like we read, I think, last week, Karmani Nirdhati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajam. When one turns one's attention to Krishna, then Krishna, he begins to take charge. And the karmas, which are broadly, you know, four categories, one can say prarabdha, aprarabdha, bija, kuta, all of these can be uprooted from the root by the process of devotional service. And Rupa Goswami also analyzes how the root of suffering is ignorance. So suffering is because of some impious activities. Those impious activities is because of some improper desires. Those improper desires are because of ignorance. So the root of suffering is ignorance. So bhakti, it uproots. Prema bhakti yaha hoite avidya vinasha jate. It completely uproots from the root, ignorance. So here, Lord Srila Prabhupada is encouraging us to have only one desire. That one desire is to serve Krishna. Because these, the host of unlimited desires, you know, that we have had since time immemorial, I mean, we are already seeing what it has gotten us, basically. So many lifetimes, we have tried to fulfill our material desires, and it has gotten us more suffering, one more birth, some maybe different circumstance. But our acharyas are explaining, in this lifetime, you know, give up all your hopes of sense gratification, and you exclusively look towards Krishna. You know, please Krishna's desires, or make your desires one with Krishna's desire. Krishna Anushilanam. That's what Prabhupada is mentioning here towards the end. These are all arrangements of the Supreme Lord according to our desires under the spell of Maya illusion. And if the living entity wants to turn to Krishna, then Krishna becomes directly involved. He takes charge. He tells his servant, Maya Devi, to step back, and then he takes personal charge of the devotee. Therefore, one should not desire anything in devotional life. Therefore, one should not desire anything, since everything depends on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One should act only to develop Krishna consciousness. So what does this mean, to develop Krishna consciousness? In simple terms, it can mean what is pleasing to Krishna, being aware of Krishna. Prabhupada is encouraging us to cultivate, to develop Krishna consciousness. For everything else, one should fully depend upon the Supreme Person. But obviously is making a clear distinction that there are plans and endeavors that we have in our devotional service. And then there are plans that sometimes we make which are outside the realms of devotional service. So it requires intelligence to discern between the two. Sometimes those of us that are, you know, I guess, trying to serve full time, whatever that means. So we can be in an illusion that, well, I mean, my life is all about devotional service. There's nothing outside of devotional service in my life. So all these circumstances that I'm thinking about, they're also all connected to my devotional service, which may be true. Hopefully they are true. But then we need to, you know, have Vaishnavas in our life to help us make sure that those are indeed true. And this also depends on, of course, these arrangements that Srila Prabhupada is talking about, they depend on, you know, varna, ashrama, they also depend on one's adhikar, where one is in devotional service. Because it's essentially what Prabhupada is talking about is sharanagati, surrender. So how surrender looks will vary from person to person. It will depend on varna and ashram, it will depend on the level of one's devotional service, how it looks like. For everything else, one should fully depend upon the Supreme Person. We should not create plans that will ultimately make us frustrated. So here everything else seems to indicate those things that are outside of the realms of devotional service, maybe not direct devotional service. But again, what we're also encouraged then to not lead a secular life where, you know, this is devotional service, this is not devotional service. So we are encouraged to cultivate, you know, to see our whole life as a continuum of service, devotional service. The circumstances may change. Somebody may go to work, somebody may not go to work. So for that, one has to require careful guidance. So we'll pause here and see if there's any discussion, comments, questions. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is related to the last portion of the discussion on this topic of how to surrender, or knowing what surrender will look like for me. It can often be a very challenging contemplation, even when you have guidance. So I was just thinking of this verse that's come up recently in my study in the second canto. I wasn't able to find the exact verse, but Shukadev Goswami replies to Maharaj Parikshit, who's asking, you know, what is the duty of the human being at the time of death and even throughout life? And Shukadev Goswami replies that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the doubtless and fearless path for all. So that was just something that came to mind. Of course, most devotees will require, in addition to their chanting, some variety of engagement to gradually relieve our heart of these different material propensities. But as long as the chanting of Hare Krishna is there, it's like a very strong shelter and safety. And in my experience, it's through the chanting that there comes clarity in the other aspects. So just wanted to share that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Devotional service brings clarity. It's like it dissipates the fog. Kechit kevalya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dunvanti karshnena niharam yava bhaskara. Pure devotional service, just like when the sun rises, If there is fog, it dissipates. So similarly, bhakti has the potency to really help us get in touch with our actual nature and even our conditioned nature. We don't have a good sense of either when we begin. It clarifies. Chetodarpana marjanam. It purifies everything. And we're able to see things as they are. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, so we'll end here and then we'll continue tomorrow. Oh, Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, my question was about the last point that you made about making plans in devotional service and making plans
yeah.
In devotional service versus outside devotional service. Could you please give some examples of, like, I think like Prabhupada made a lot of plans, like, you know, we know that he was very almost adamant about getting the Juhu temple. And like, how are we to, like, at our level, like, how are we to make plans in our devotional life? And is it initiated by the spiritual master? We just follow the spiritual master, or like, it's not clear for me. So,
good question. There is a progression. I'm sure we can all relate to this. When we, you know, initially we joined, you know, the Hare Krishna movement, we were quite happy to just, you know, follow and do what we were told. I mean, at least some of us, most of us. Then as one, you know, performs devotional service, one comes in contact with, as I was saying, one understands one's own nature a little bit better than earlier. And then the relationship with the spiritual master or the Vaishnavas is growing. And so there is room for the devotee to express his inspiration. That I want to serve Krishna, but I'm inspired to serve in this way. It's a dialogue. It should be a dialogue. But then we have to, while we do that, we have to be malleable as well. We have to be open. Because other Vaishnavas, they may be able to see things that we are not able to see because of our, you know, attachments, and we are not, you know, in a completely pure state. So there is definitely room for us to propose something. Yeah. Sometimes the spiritual master may, or this Vaishnava may propose something, you know. And the Vaishnavas, like, they give us the freedom to say yes or no. Right? So similarly, when we approach, you know, some senior Vaishnavas and we propose something, we should also give them this chance to say yes or no. That's one thing. You know, timing. Sometimes timing also is important. Yeah. cardinals. So while we are making our plans, another thing about making plans in devotional services, like Krishna mentions, you know, one becomes attached to them. And then, you know, if those plans sort of, you know, solidify and become concrete, and then we are asked to not act on those plans, it can be more, you know, it can be more difficult, become more concrete. Of course, one may say, well, let me first think through this properly and, you know, what is my motivation here? What is my plan? You know, that. And then when one sufficiently has introspected, then one approaches. That could also be done. What the spiritual master is indicating, that also is important. Sometimes the spiritual master may indicate that, you know, you follow the leadership of person A. Then, you know, we may have to do that. We just have to see. They said the conditioned soul, you know, can somehow can get strayed from devotional service. So we just have to be cautious. It's not that we should squelch our inspirations, but we should be cautious. We should be open to share those inspirations. And sometimes the Vaishnavas may ask us, you know, 50 questions. That's what usually our spiritual master does. If he says something, he'll ask like 5 questions. And those questions, we can say, you know, why doesn't Maharaj say yes, you know, without asking all these questions? But those questions, in a way, they help us go deeper into ourselves, identify, you know, what's my motivation, why do I want to do this, so on and so forth. So it helps us. Yeah. Anybody else wants to add anything? Yeah.
Just was thinking about how ultimately we're attempting to cultivate a mood of service. Thinking of that verse, Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama, and this what Prabhupada quoted in his purport, that pure devotional service is free from material activity, mental speculation, but it's performed as Krishna desires and following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So we're just meditating on, we had performed this drama, Prahlad had the idea to do the drama for the disappearance of Gorkishwaras Babaji, and one thing that came up was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was revealing that he did not think it was possible to lead, he did not know how it could be possible, how it would be possible, specifically for him, to be 100% engaged in pure devotional service when there's all these practical dealings going on. You know, living in a city like Calcutta, there's so much bad association and you have to do all these different kinds of activities. How can you just remain fixed in remembrance of Krishna? But it was through the example of his spiritual master, Gorkishwaras Babaji, that he caught this spirit of just complete absorption in Krishna, and because of that, detachment from the material. So the point I was wanting to emphasize was this mood, which is learned in the association of superior, you know, more realized devotees. That mood is the essence, and then how we engage will come naturally from that. Like it's a secondary point, the what to do, but the mood that we do it in, you know, because we might pick this way or that way, but finally we're trying to cultivate the mood of service. So that was just something that came to mind. I don't know if it was helpful. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, devotional service sometimes can be done in the mode of enjoyership. We don't, I mean, and typically we can't catch it. Others, you know, higher authorities, sometimes they catch it. They can catch it. So we just have to. Of course, there is no replacement for introspection and self-honesty. We can't just sort of say, you know, if Maharaj doesn't stop me, I'll keep going. It should not be like that. We should have our own introspection also. Yeah, that there's no replacement for that. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Please accept my humble obeisances.